Blog Talk Radio.
Where do the time go? Oh, hey, wake up! Time to wake up!
Kick that grandfather clock one. Good evening and welcome to Erie House, oldie, tiny radio. Must be time for me to wake up. Dale K here from Spook Show here, accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with...
This is CW telling you it will soon be time to spring ahead, to fall back, or fall back and spring ahead, or some such thing. Just throw your clock around the room.
If you fall down and roll around, that's all I can do anymore. So,
yep.
Enough of this fall back and fall forward stuff.
At a high, high to Fogsbane. Thanks for tuning in live and logging into the chat, no less. As we prepare once again to travel through time into the future, at least tomorrow night, but we're celebrating all weekend. Yes, it's time for yet another ridiculous time change.
Yes. Just pick one and keep it there. I don't care which one. Just pick one and keep it there.
They're doing it to screw with my Arcadian cycle. Or circadian, excuse me. Circadian cycle. What did I say? Arcadian?
Arcadian?
I meant circadian.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Arcadian is playing, like, video games. No, circadian. Circadian? Something. I don't know. My sleep cycle. My life cycle is all out of whack. Or will be soon. But I'm not here to whine and complain. We're all here to
sure you are.
Good old-time radio.
Of course you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, all three of these are time travel into the past, believe it or not.
Cool.
As we go back, as we fall back 1 hour.
But we're stringing ahead.
Interesting. I just looked at that, and I realized that. They all are time travel by going back.
Ah. Well, I guess we're bass-ackwards. Because we're going into the future tomorrow night, but that's cool. Time travel is always good. A little fun with some sci-fi. We got what? Crisis? Bradbury 13? And as much as we would have liked Quiet Please.
Yeah.
Instead, we got X-1, which is a fine replacement.
Yes. We could have it, but the second half was just so... The first half was fine. The second half was so inaudible with surface noise off the records, and I toyed with it for over 2 hours. I just couldn't get it. I felt comfortable with it being listenable. So, unfortunately... maybe another time on a different program I can toy with it, but not for this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Where's NASA when you need them, or the CIA, or the NSA?
Or,
they can filter that out.
Or Elon Musk, or somebody help
well,
us.
There you are.
Well, don't give it to Richard Nixon. He leaves you 17-minute gaps, so that doesn't work.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Talk about time travel. He makes it go away.
Ooh.
There it is.
Actually, it wasn't him. He just tried to – he was part of the cover-up, but whatever. Not our best president.
Yeah,
I
you're right.
Imagine.
It was his secretary who accidentally erased that 17 minutes.
Yes, practicing yoga at the time when her leg was about at a 45 perpendicular angle when the rest of her body was tracked over the other side. And then her hand was doing the lotus position, all in high-heel shoes and pantyhose. Thank you. With a bouffant hairdo.
Wait a minute. I'm getting excited here.
Yeah.
No. Calm down.
You know, that's one of my greatest regrets in life is never dating a gymnast, but I digress.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's not wearing pantyhose, but, you know, it's overrated.
Well, William Shatner wears them when he goes William Shatner wears them when he goes horse riding.
He does.
Yeah.
I could have lived a long time without knowing.
Actually, it's pretty much commonplace. They do have to have some sort of legging underneath, and also football players, American football players, were known when the weather gets cold before they heated everything, and they still do have that. They will wear something underneath.
Yeah,
didn't know that, did
they? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Maybe for a gag, but
a pair of pantyhose was a great Big Chuck gag that a viewer of his saw and went to England, stole it and gave it to Benny Hill.
Wow.
You know which one that is, Dale.
The last time I wore pantyhose was in a bank, okay?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it was. The guy goes into a shop and he's looking for a pair of legs because those were not connected, right? The legs? I'm asking CW.
Well, they were connected, but I got busted because there was a large area that. Never mind.
Oh, you're talking about the legs pantyhose that's in that little eggshell container?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Pantyhose. You're thinking of stockings with the garter belt and everything?
No. It was a nylon stocking that was not. Well, it might be. Yeah, I mean, that might be what he goes, but. He goes in to buy one of those. He comes out, and they went. Yeah, Dale knows where he's going. He's going in. They're coming out of the bank. These two guys, and they've got the pantyhose on. They're both connected to the pantyhose after they robbed the bank.
Each one's got a leg over their head. They're connected.
Yeah, I get it.
And Benny Hill used that, and the guy that wrote it for him later said, "Yeah, I got that from Big Chuck."
That's amazing.
He was a Clevelander. Who went over there and found a career writing by stealing other people's stuff, I guess. I don't know. There you go.
Well, what a bounder, an absolute villain. How dare you?
That was one interesting character, Benny Hill. Kind of came to a sad end, though. He was, I think, pretty broke and pretty ill at the end of his life.
He was certainly a reckless.
He was broke. He was very shy.
Yeah.
Which just amazes me how many people are so shy and still make a living just putting themselves out on the stage. I'm just shocked by it.
Yeah.
Maybe
they're good with in the land of pretend, but not with one-on-one relationships with human beings. You know, there are people like that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you spend, a good concert can be 2 to 3 hours, and you're on a stage in front of people who pay to see you and have no qualms about throwing vegetation in your general direction if they don't like you.
Vegetation.
Could it use some good tomato soup every now and then, you know?
They used to throw pumpkins at me. I thought I was fighting a green goblin. But three, count them three, terrific tales.
Three!
Time travel. Where shall we begin tonight?
What do you say, CW? Where do you want to start? With Crisis or with Bradbury 13 or the X-Minus 1?
Well, let's see. Let's start with Grandmaster himself, Mr. Bradbury. That's Ray to the rest of the immortals. Yes, and I happen to probably be the only one who actually saw Mr. Bradbury before he passed away at a sci-fi convention.
Lucky devil.
I did get to see him, too. He came here to Akron. Was part of the University of Akron speaker series once. He had had a stroke. He was stuck in a wheelchair, but, boy, he had all his mental faculties.
I sure wish I could have met the other two members of the Bat Pack. The only one I met was the great Forrest J. Ackerman before he passed. Would have loved to met Bradbury, and I would have just died to meet Ray Harryhausen.
Never got to meet Harryhausen. I did get a quick look at Mr. Forrest J. Ackerman, but I did meet the Harlequin himself, Harlan Ellison.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I have his signature from he came to Akron also with a library series, and I bought one of his books, which he signed for me.
Nice.
Yep.
Sure, why not? Radbury 13. This is an intriguing title. The Fox and the Forest.
There have been other adaptions of this story with different names, so I'm not sure if this is the original name or not. CW might know once we get into the story. But I've heard several different versions of this. By far the best adaption of this story that I've heard.
And this episode of Bradbury 13 was originally broadcast
as episode number 11 on June 11th, 1984.
Pretty recent.
This is Ray Bradbury. Join me for the next 30 minutes on a tour through time and space. Come along to the far future. Follow me into a strange past. With stories that almost could be or might have been. Real or unreal, this is Bradbury 13. There were fireworks the very first night. Things that you should be afraid of, perhaps. For they might remind you of other more horrible things, but these were beautiful rockets that ascended into the ancient soft air of Mexico and shook the stars apart in blue and white fragments. Everything was good and sweet. The air was that blend of the dead and the living of the rains and the dusts. And in the shadows, with bottles of assorted liquor at his elbow, the man in the Panama hat lit a Turkish cigarette and stared into the crowd, searching, searching. Ray Bradbury's The Fox in the Forest.
Pablo! Pablo! Mira los cohetes! Llama a tu mamá y a tu hermana y diles que salgan y que vengan a ver.
Oh, Bill, isn't it wonderful?
Oh, they sure know how to celebrate that.
Whoever thought they did this back in 1938?
1938. It's a good year for fireworks and tequila. Have some more.
No, I've had too much already.
Here come the papier-mâché balls. Look.
I've never enjoyed myself so much in my life.
It's amazing.
It will go on, won't it?
Sure, all night probably.
No, I mean our trip.
Of course it will. I've got enough traveler's checks for a lifetime in Mexico. Enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it.
They could find us.
Forget it, Susan. They won't find us here.
Never?
Never. Look, they killed a bull. Take a look at him.
Bill, that man in the cafe.
What about him?
I saw him in the plaza this morning.
Take it easy. He's nobody.
But he was in the hall last night when we went to our room.
Don't look back. Keep walking. Examine the papier-mâché bull here.
Do you think he's from the searchers?
They couldn't follow us. We were too careful.
What if they did? What if he followed us back through 200 years?
Watch yourself. Keep looking at the bull. You'll be all right.
I need to sit down.
Not out here. Let's go in the cafe and drink right in front of him, so if he is what we think he is, he won't suspect a thing.
No, I can't.
We've got to. My melancholy. And so I said to David, without freedom,
we're here. Who are we? Where are we going? My name is Anne Kristen. My husband is Roger. We lived in the year 2155 AD in a world that was evil. A world that was like a great black ship pulling away from the shore of sanity and civilization, roaring its black horn in the night, taking 2 billion people with it, whether they wanted to go or not, to death. To follow the edge of the earth and the sea in radioactive flame and madness. And then one blue April morning, the phone call. heard.
I mean about Travel and Time Incorporated. It's trips to Rome in 21 BC, to Napoleon's Waterloo, any time, any place.
Renee, you're joking.
No, I'm not. Clinton Smith left this morning for Philadelphia in 1776. Time travel arranges everything. Oh, it costs a lot, but just think. To actually see the burning of Rome, Kublai Khan, Moses in the Red Sea.
But how did you hear about it?
It came over the screen this morning.
Let me check. Renee, it's on right now. Listen.
Wright Brothers and Kitty Hawk. Travel in Time Incorporated can costume you, put you in a crowd during the assassination of Lincoln or Caesar. We guarantee to teach you any language you need to move freely in any civilization, in any year, any era without detection. Latin, Greek, ancient American colloquial. Take your vacation in time as well as place. For information on this exciting new...
Oh, Renee, it sounds wonderful.
Tom and I leave for $14.92 tomorrow. They're arranging for us to sail with Columbus. Oh, isn't it amazing?
It's unbelievable. What does the government say about this time machine company?
Oh, the police have an eye on it. Afraid some people might evade the draft and run off and hide in the pest. Everyone has to leave a security bond behind. You know, his house, his belongings, to guarantee return. After all, the war's on.
Yes. They won't let anyone forget the war.
Anyway, when I heard about this travel in time, I called Tom up at the office and told him all about it, and he was as amazed as I was.
Here was the chance that Roger and I had talked and prayed about for so many years. To run away from his work at the bomb factory and from mine at the disease culture unit. To run for centuries into a wild country of years where they will never find us and bring us back to burn our books, scald our minds with fear. So we ran, my husband and I. Roger. Roger, Kristen.
Anne,
Roger, Kristen.
Anne.
Roger, Kristen. Mr. Roger, Kristen, isn't it?
I'm afraid you're mistaken.
Mr. Kristen, you did not pull your pant legs up before you sat down.
So you've got the wrong person. My name's not Christler.
Kristen.
I'm William Travis, and I don't see what my pant legs have to do with you, Mr.
Sims. May I sit down?
Well...
Let me apologize. I thought I knew you because you did not pull your trousers up. Everyone does. If you don't, the trousers bag quickly.
Very interesting, Mr. Sims.
I'm a long way from home, Mr. Travis. And in need of company.
Mr. Sims, we appreciate your predicament, but, well, we're tired and about ready to head for our room. We're leaving for Acapulco in the morning.
Oh, charming spot. I was just there, looking for some friends of mine.
Oh? And did you find them?
No, I'm afraid not. But I will. Oh, is your wife feeling ill?
It's nothing. Well, good night, Mr. Sims. Come on, Susan.
Good night. Oh, just one other thing.
Yes, Mr. Sims?
2155 A.D.,
nerve. Him sitting there looking us up and down like animals. Smoking his cigarettes, drinking his drinks. I should have killed him then.
Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just upset. Look, why don't you lie down? I'll get you something to drink. Now, he even had the nerve to use his real name on us. Sims, the chief of the searchers. They must really want us bad if they sent him here. Here, drink this.
Thank you.
And that thing about my pant legs. I knew I should have pulled them up when I sat down. It's an automatic gesture in this day and age. When I didn't do it, it made him think, now here's a man who never wore pants. A man used to breech uniforms and future styles. Oh, I could kill myself for giving us away.
No, it was my walk. These high heels that did it. And our haircut, so new, so fresh. Everything about us is odd, different, and the way we drink liquor. Anyone could tell we're not used to that.
Liquor and cigarettes. Everything we can't get in the future. It gave him away, too. Did you see all the bottles on the table he was sitting at? He's still testing us. He's not positive of us, not completely. Now, we can't run out now. We'll have to go to Acapulco leisurely.
Maybe he is sure of us, but he's just playing.
No, I wouldn't put it past him. He's got all the time in the world. Well, he could dally here for weeks and bring us back to the future 60 seconds after we left it. He might keep us wondering for days, laughing at us.
They won't make a scene, will they?
No, they wouldn't dare. Their only chance is to get us alone in front of that travel machine.
We'll stay in crowds, then. We'll never be alone. We'll make a million friends, visit markets. We could pay the chief of police to protect us until we find a way to get rid of Sims and escape. We could change our clothes and disguise ourselves as Mexicans, even...
Shh! Listen. Someone in the hall.
Shut up the lights. It had to be him.
He's gone now.
They're still celebrating down there.
Probably all night.
Bill, that building in the plaza.
What building?
That one, that big one. What is it?
That's the church.
I thought so. I've often wondered what a church looked like. It's been a long time since anyone saw one.
Would you like to visit it tomorrow?
Could we? I'd really like that.
Sure. First thing after breakfast. Come on. Let's get some sleep.
Susan, leave it. Susan?
Hello?
The rabbits may hide in the forest, but a fox can always find them.
Susan, what is it?
It was... Sam.
Never mind. Go to sleep. Susan, wake up, wake up.
Oh, Bill, I was dreaming.
I know. But we're here now, not there. Go to sleep.
Runaways in time. Runaways in time.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I'll have to. I don't know whether. Does anybody know the actual title of the song? Because again, I can't even tell you which one it shows because.
That is. It is a vignette from his book, The Illustrated Man.
Okay.
I've heard another radio adaptation of this, and I can't remember. It was either X minus one or Dimension X, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, this is one of the Illustrated Man was a collection of short stories all bound together by the Illustrated Man who had all the tattoos on his body and the narrator. It was different stories that were all combined through the tattoos of the Illustrated Man. I haven't seen the movie in a while, and I read the book for school, to be perfectly frank, it wasn't one of my favorite works of Bradbury's. I liked a lot of the other stuff, Something Wicked This Way Comes, of course, Fahrenheit 451. Illustrated Man wasn't, it was really, I don't know, did he drop acid at one time in his life?
I don't think so.
Because, I don't know, it just came across like that. But that's the only other title I can think of offhand for that story. But it's out of the book. It's out of Illustrated Man.
Ah, okay.
Sorry, Ray, if you're listening from beyond. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you in the same category with Timothy Leary. Sorry about that.
You know, it reminds me, there's a clip on the internet. Dorothy Fulltime was a local news legend here in Cleveland, and he came on her show. She quit the interview like 2.5 minutes into it with him because he was high at the time, and of course, and suggested that she should be too, and that was it. It's funny. It's so funny.
Dr. Timothy Leary.
Yeah. Leary, yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's more like Snoop Dogg. I mean, Snoop Dogg always has a little bit of the herb with him, chronically, constantly.
That explains some stuff.
He's not shy about it for either, if you notice.
Yeah. Not in the least. Not in the least.
Not a closet
but
smoker.
Far from it. He smokes in the closet, around the closet, outside of the closet.
Yeah.
In other people's closets. But, yeah, I'm enjoying the premise of this, the time travel, the future that they were in, going back into the past.
Escaping a dystopian future through the means of time travel.
Yeah, and this is the 22nd century, I believe they mentioned.
Yeah, it was just before the Enterprise took off, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. As far as I see Captain Kirk running to school, he's running to academy.
Yes.
Okay, that's why I could find it. It's The Fox in the Forest, also titled To the Future. To the Future
that's
was the name.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's the That's the name that's on. Yeah, and you're right. I think that's an X-1, Dale.
Yeah. Yep. And I have to say, I agree with your assessment. This version seems a little superior. So let us hear a superior conclusion to The Fox in the Forest. Or...
You betcha.
To the future.
From
Bradbury 13.
Señor... Your breakfast.
Thank you. Well, I hope these eggs are as good as they smell.
It still amazes me. Fresh ham and eggs anytime you want them.
Sounds like a traffic jam out there. Wonder what it is.
Oh, senor, you have not heard? An American motion picture company is here making a movie on location.
A movie, huh? Sounds interesting. Let's watch them. What do you say?
Well...
Come on, let's watch them film. Get our minds off everything. They say primitive filmmaking was really something. We can go to Acapulco later, okay?
Sure, why not?
Sue, here comes Sims down the stairs. Smile at him. That's right. He can't do anything with all these people around.
That's right. He can't, can he?
Look, here come the actors. Get hire two of them, dress them up in our clothes, have them drive off in our car, and let Sims follow them. While he's chasing him, we could make it to Mexico City. Take him years to find us there.
Do you think we could?
Watch it.
Hey, American tourist. I'm so sick of seeing Mexicans I can kiss you. Come and eat with us.
Well,
come on. Misery loves company. I'm Misery, and this is Miss Gloom.
Hi.
And Mr. and Mrs. Boy, do we hate Mexico. We all hate it. but we're here doing some preliminary shots for a film.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the rest of the crew gets here tomorrow. My name's Joe Melton, the director of this epic.
How do you do? I'm Bill Travis. This is my wife, Sue.
Glad to meet you. Boy, ain't this a country. Funerals in the streets and people dying. Come on, move over. Cheer us up.
Sure, we've got room.
Bill, here comes Sims.
Who's Sims?
Mr. and Mrs. Travis. I thought we were breakfasting together, alone.
Sorry.
Sit down, pal. Any friend of theirs is a pal of mine.
Thank you, mister.
Melton, Joe Melton. Hey, waiter, how about some service?
Well, yeah.
I hope you slept well, Mr. Travis.
Did you?
I'm not used to spring mattresses. But there are compensations. I stayed up half the night trying new cigarettes and foods.
Oh?
Yes. Fascinating. A whole new spectrum of sensations, these ancient vices.
Ancient vices? What do you mean?
Always play-acting. It's no use. Nor is the stratagem of crowds. I'll get you alone soon enough. I'm immensely patient.
Say, is this guy giving you any trouble?
No, it's all right.
Say the word and I'll give him the bum's rush. Hey, waiter, I'm starving.
See, yellow paint.
Let's come to the point, Mr. Travis. It took me a month of tracing you through towns and cities once you left New York, and all of yesterday to be sure of you. If you come with me quietly, I might be able to get you off with no punishment, if you agree to go back and work on the bomb.
This guy's a real talker, ain't he?
Think it over, Mr. Travis. You can't escape.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Stop it. Use your intelligence. You know we can't let you get away. Other people might get the same idea. We need people.
To fight your wars?
Bill.
It's all right, Susan. We'll talk on his terms now.
Excellent. Really, you've both been incredibly romantic running away from your responsibilities.
Running away from horror.
Nonsense. Only a war.
Wait a minute. What are you guys talking about?
Only a war. Half the world dead of disease bombs.
Nevertheless, the inhabitants of the future resent you two hiding out here. Dying people love to know that others die with them. Death loves death, not life.
Well, not us, Sims.
The longer you keep me waiting, the harder it will go for you. We need you on the bomb project. Return now, no unpleasantness. If you wait, we'll force you to work. Then we'll try a few disease cultures on you, Mr. Travis.
I have a proposition. I'll come back with you if my wife stays here.
Bill!
That's my offer.
All right. Meet me in the plaza in 10 minutes. I'll be sitting on the bench by the tree. Pick me up in your car and we'll drive to a deserted spot and have the travel machine pick us up there.
Bill!
It's all right, Susan. It's settled. One last thing, Sims. Last night you could have gotten in our room and kidnapped us, but you didn't.
Shall we say I was enjoying myself? I hate the thought of giving up this wonderful atmosphere, this vacation. I shall regret leaving it all behind. The plaza, then. In 10 minutes. Your wife will be safe here and may stay as long as she wishes. Say your goodbyes.
There goes Mr. Big Talk. Goodbye, Mr. Big Talk.
Susan, wait for me on the balcony.
But
I can't explain. Just wait for me. It'll be all right. Trust me.
Hey, where are you two going?
Hey!
Hmm. 10:30. Come on, Mr. Kristen. I mean, Mr. Travis. You've got a date with a bomb. Good. Right on time. This was easier than I thought. What? He's crazy. No! No!
No! No!
Adios, senor.
Will they want to see you again?
No, we went over it and over it. It was an accident. I lost control of the car. Oh, I wept for him. I hated to kill him. I've never wanted to do anything like that in my life.
They won't prosecute you?
Yeah, they talked about it, but No, I talked faster. It was an accident. It's over.
Where will we go? Mexico City?
Cars in the repair shop. It'll be ready at 4 this afternoon, then we'll get in it and go.
Will we be followed? Maybe Sims wasn't alone.
Well, at least we'll have a little head start on them anyway.
Hey, Bill, Susan.
Oh, hi, Joe.
I heard what happened today. That's a rotten shame. You okay?
No, I'll be fine.
Well, you ought to get your minds off it. We're doing some shooting up the street here. Come on up and watch. It'll do you good.
I don't know.
Oh, you ought to see me work, Bill. It's really something.
Honey?
Sure, we'll be glad to.
Great. I'll see you in a minute. All right, back to work, everyone.
Hey, Jack, kill that light up there, will you?
Do you see anyone suspicious?
No. I don't know. What time is it?
3:00. Car should be ready soon. Well, let's watch Melton filming for a while, and we'll get back to the hotel and pack. Come on.
Okay, let's turn off this other shot. Get a move on. Why, what a day, huh? Hey, Bill, Sue, what'd you think of that scene we shot?
That was fine.
Fine? It was a Rembrandt. What do you mean, fine? You folks go upstairs?
Oh, we've got a pack. Our car's almost ready.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm parched. Come on up to my room for a drink. What do you say?
Well, maybe one.
Great! Come on, everyone. The drinks are on me.
Watch the time. Let me know when it's 4.
Come on in, you two. What do you have? Martini? Beer? How about some champagne?
Sounds wonderful.
You got it, pretty gal. Here we go, Bill, Susan, bottoms up.
Cheers.
Hey, no long faces. Drink up. Here's to a very beautiful lady, lovely enough for films. I might even give you a test. I mean it. I can make you a star.
And take it to Hollywood?
Well, of course. Get out of Mexico for good. Hey, wouldn't she be a knockout?
Could be just what we're looking for. A little change in our lives.
Sure. Have some more champagne.
Sounds too good to be true.
Let me refill that, Bill.
What kind of film would my wife be good for?
Well, I'd like to do a story of suspense.
Really?
Absolutely. A story of a man and wife, like yourselves.
Go on.
Sort of a war story, maybe. A story of a couple who live in a little house on a little street in the year 2155, maybe. This is ad lib, you understand, but this man and wife are faced with a terrible war. Superplus neutron bombs, censorship, death. And here's the gimmick. They escape into the past, followed by a man they think is evil, but who's only trying to show them what their duty is. You dropped your glass, Bill. But you must hear the rest of the plot. This couple take refuge with a group of film people whom they learn to trust. Safety in numbers, they say to themselves. Ah, that's a fine wine, don't you think? Well, this man and woman, it seems, don't realize how important they are to the future. The man, especially, is the keystone to a new bomb metal. So the searchers, let's call them, spare no trouble or expense to find them and take them home. Once they get them totally alone in a hotel room where no one can see. Strategy, Bill. Strategy. The searchers work alone or in groups of 8. One trick or another will do it. Don't you think it will make a wonderful film, Susan? Don't you, Bill?
Like you.
A gun.
Stay back. Get him. That was a stupid move, Mr. Christian. You only made matters worse.
Someone's coming.
Let me in. Open the door.
The manager gave up, Melton. It's too late. Nonsense. We've got all the time in the world. Switch on the camera.
The camera. Bill, the machine's in the camera.
Clever, don't you think? Say goodbye to Mexico, Mr. and Mrs. Christian.
No.
Let me in. Open the door. Open the
But they were just here. We heard them. I saw them come in. Now it's empty.
Es imposible.
Quickly. Oh, Santa Maria, we must summon the priest and have him sprinkle the room with holy water and give it his blessing.
What shall we do with this?
What is it?
Bottles and bottles. Cognac, vermouth, tequila, and Turkish cigarettes, and hundreds of cigars.
Throw them out. Throw them out.
Fox in the Forest was adapted from the story by Ray Bradbury. Featured in the cast were Neil Barth, Barta Heiner, Linwood Thompson, Jay Bernard, and Janet Swenson. Original music by Roger Hoffman and Greg Hansen. Production assistant was Patrick Mead. Associate producer was Jeff Rader. Bradbury 13 was created, produced, and directed by Mike McDonough. Executive producer was Dean Van Eitert. This is Paul Frees speaking.
Say Gar won't be joining us tonight, not feeling too well, so we're hoping our brother gets well soon. However, Eerie House Radio shamelessly resents Garless Moral of the Story. With apologies to Gar, I guess I'm doing this one. Creating a fake identity is not without its drawbacks. One essentially being forgetting who you were.
There you go.
Get well soon, Brother Gar.
Yes, get well, please.
He did leave us the morals, so you know, we do have that.
He left us his morals. He is now without morals.
Oh, he's lacking morals. Okay.
Yeah, listen to me talking. I got no room. Got no room to cast dispersions upon anyone.
Yes, did a little bit more research on that, the Ray Bradbury tale that we just enjoyed. There was a British show, probably it's on YouTube, Terry Nation worked on it, and any Blake 7 fans out there, Terry Nation came up with that British sci-fi series. And he worked on this story for a British story. I put it in the chat room.
Yes.
I saw that, and thanks for looking that up for us. It's yet another version of this great tale.
Out of the unknown, yeah.
So there must be a host of different versions of this story, just peppering all over the place.
Now, that show was from 1984, was production of the story. And I've said it before, I mentioned it earlier in the chat, but honestly, Dave, your voice resembles Ray Bradbury's at that time of his life. He sounds very similar to, you know, his age for Ray Bradbury Theater, which I think was also 80s. So, you know, not too far removed from these Bradbury 13s, time-wise.
As a matter of fact, you do have that. I forgot. I'd have to look it up. But where was Bradbury raised? Was he raised in the Midwest?
Started out in Buffalo. Moved to Dayton. Or Canton.
Wait a minute here. Trey Bradbury didn't start off in Dayton, did he?
No, in Buffalo. Then he moved to Canton.
Really?
True story. True story. Yeah. It's probably why you guys sound alike.
Yeah.
I'm getting my facts from the book of Gar.
Cousin.
Oh, you mean
cousin
you make it
12
up.
Times removed or something? Might be cousins 12 times removed.
No, there's a certain timbre of your voice, Dave, that resembles his. For whatever reason, that's what I think. Shoot me. I don't care.
Well, you found me out. Now I have to leave the show.
Oh, dear.
Dave is the ghost of Ray Bradbury.
Bradbury.
Mm-hmm. Or, if not, there's always.
Yeah, I was looking here. I'm holding my hand the entire series of Ray Bradbury Theater. I wonder if they adapted it for that, and I don't know. Because they don't list the individual.
I don't think so. I don't recall seeing one, but I haven't seen them all. I'm just actually discovering some of them now. Thank you.
Yeah, originally it was on Canadian and USA Network. That's where they originally were. They've found since then other places to be, but yeah. You talk about interesting people: William Shatner, Drew Barrymore, Jeff Goldblum, Peter O'Toole, Eugene Levy, Shelley Duvall, Elliot Gould. These are all stars that were in some of these stories. So,
yeah,
very, very wonderful pool of talent. Reminds you of the original Twilight Zone where they had all this talent.
Oh, good heavens! Yes, so many people early in their careers were in Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Right, but that's the difference between this and Twilight Zone. Is Twilight Zone, most of them were pretty much unknowns then, where here, all of these were
true.
Outside of maybe Drew Barrymore. I don't know how well she was known when she did this, but
I'm thinking she had E.T. under her belt, and I don't know if she's done Firestarter, which was a pretty good movie.
She hadn't flashed Dave yet. Letterman.
No, not yet.
It was before that. We know this. Oh, jeez. I had to think of that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't think even Madonna did that. Wow.
It's very tough to leave Dave speechless. He did.
Yeah, his jaw hit the ground. It was tremendously great.
Yeah, because they were on television.
Yeah.
But she tactfully had her back to the camera, so.
She did.
Yeah, so the FCC couldn't howl about it.
No.
Yep.
Now, Madonna's language, that's a whole nother. That's a different horse of a different flavor. Let us move on with what time we got.
Oh,
so we can have more radio fun. How about moving on to Crisis?
Yeah, let's go to Crisis. Yeah. It's one of the more the newer shows that we've kind of found. Jim French was the director for all and writer for most of these. And just interesting because, again, we're back into the Silver Age of radio back in 1973. And there was just so much drama that really came back in the 1970s, And that was a great thing, as we are now sharing some of the old, you know, the Zero Hours, the Mystery Theaters, the Mutual and Sears Theater, and other things too we have in the future that were, you know, from that era. So as Dale so promptly really called it, the Silver Age of radio, which it truly was.
And with that happy footnote, let us begin with Along a Dark Road from Crisis, originally broadcast November 29th. Go ahead.
Yep. It's the episode number 2 of the series, by the way.
Ooh.
Yep. Go ahead. With the date.
November 29th, 1973.
There you go.
I learned from the master.
Sooner or later, when you least expect it, there comes a point of no return, a dead end from which there seems no escape, a moment in time, a moment of crisis. Lightning strike so close to the car, the unfamiliar highway, black of night. If the thunder and lightning hadn't been so terribly near, perhaps Mark Forman would never have taken the wrong turn. For that's what it was, a very wrong turn. Our tale of suspense, Along a Dark Road, featuring Jack Morton, will begin immediately following this message.
As I ever want to come. Well, I guess the car's in one piece. That lightning couldn't have missed me by 5 feet. Gee, I wish it wasn't so dizzy. And I'm all turned around. Somewhere along here, I've got to turn off the highway and get on the road to Brightville. Well, let's see if she'll start. Come on, baby. Come on. Great. Well, so far, so good. Now, there's a road of some kind. Maybe this is it. Jerry said it'd be the first road to the right after passing the water tower at Sand Hill. But I'm not sure that that was the Sand Hill water tower or not. No, well, this must be it. So dark, though, I can't tell. Says, I can't read it by the dash light. It's, no, for Pete's sake. It stopped. Wonder if the lightning did that, too. Man, I'm almost out of gas. Must have been driving an hour at least. And, hey, what do we got here? Oh, it's a town of some sort. Yeah, aha! A gas station. Yeah, there's a guy locking up.
Say! Could you sell me some gas before you close up, mister?
Well, yeah, just 2 gallons.
Huh? Is that all I can have?
Well, unless you got a priority.
Hey, what the heck you got here?
What?
I mean, what is this thing?
What, my car? You kidding? It's a VW.
A VW?
Hey, you've seen a VW before. Listen, look, I got a problem. I'm trying to get to Brightville. Is it near here?
I've never heard of it. Brightville? Where is that?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. You see, I was up on the highway when the storm hit, and I almost got hit by lightning.
Wait a minute. What storm?
What storm? You mean you didn't get a thunderstorm and a cloud burst? Oh. No, I see. Yes, everything is still dry here.
Well, you know, your car don't look like it's been through no storm to me.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh. I'm afraid I can't sell you that gas.
Why not?
Well, the curfew, you know. And this here's the chief coming over.
Any trouble, Jim?
No trouble.
Well, now let's get some lights doused over there. Douse them, come on.
Right, I was just closing up.
Well, now, what have we got here? This your car?
Yeah.
What did you say it's called again, mister?
It's a VW. You guys have never seen a Volkswagen before?
Volkswagen? That sounds kind of German, doesn't it?
It is. This is made in Germany. You mean to stand there...
How do you come to be driving a Kraut car, mister? Let's see your papers.
What do you mean, my papers?
All right, fella, come on. Out of the car now. Here we go.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
I got his wallet here, Chief,
Give
if you
that
want
back
it.
Here. What is this?
You know, I knew there was something fishy. I mean, him driving in just at curfew time and all, and I didn't know that was a Nazi car.
Well, something's funny, all right. All right, let's see the wallet.
Here you go.
What do you call these things here?
What things?
These celluloid cards.
Celluloid? They're plastic. Those are credit cards. Say, would you mind letting go of my arm?
Hey, what's your name?
Mark Foreman.
Foreman. F-O-R-M-A-N-N. German name?
Yeah, my grandfather, great-grandfather, somebody came over from the old country. Say, now, what's all this bit about Germans anyway? You some kind of bigot?
Well, now, sonny boy, I guess you figured we don't know there's a war on around here.
A war? There's a war on?
You damn right.
Now, wait a minute now, Jim. There's something funny about this whole setup here. Now, suppose you tell me where you drove in from tonight, Mr. Foreman.
Well, look, I was driving up from Santa Barbara. I'm looking...
On what road?
On the freeway.
The what road?
The freeway. I turned off onto some old road. I'm looking for Brightville. I got into this lightning storm, and I must have made the wrong turn somewhere. I don't know. But all I wanted was some gas, honestly.
Where are you from?
I'm living in Los Angeles now. I'm originally from Arizona.
Uh-huh.
But look, I don't know anything about your town curfew. I don't even know what town this is.
It's called Wilsonville.
Wilsonville? I didn't see it on the map.
Now, let's see your map.
That's in the car.
Yeah, I see it over there. It's on the seat. I'll get it.
Okay. It's kind of strange. Ever since that lightning hit, right almost on top of the car.
Here it is, Chief.
Okay, let's have a look at your map here. Hey, where'd you get this?
I don't know, a gas station somewhere.
Well, it's a California map, all right. There's Bakersfield there and Sacramento. Here's Los Angeles, Santa Barbara. But these roads here, these red highways, they're wrong. They don't exist.
They sure do. They're freeways. Look here. Now, look, here's the freeway I took up from L.A. to Santa Barbara. And you can see here how it continues
on. Mr. Foreman, now, we don't have no freeways in the state of California. Same as we don't have no town named Brightville. I'm afraid you're going to have to do some explaining.
Me? I've got to do some explaining. About what?
About what you're doing with a German vehicle and a phony map and identification.
It isn't phony.
All right. Jimmy, you get in that car of his and follow me down to Civil Defense headquarters.
You arresting me?
I'm taking you down for interrogation.
Oh.
Then we're going to find out what a young guy like you's doing driving a German car when every able-bodied kid in this country is supposed to be fighting World War II. Okay, now let's have it at ease in here. All right, boys, now, afraid we got us a real hot one tonight. All right, Foreman, now empty your pockets right here on the table. That's right. Okay, now, Stan, you go to work on this stuff, will you?
What's he doing?
Mr. Polson here's our credentials expert. Took a course on how to detect forged identification such as that. Now, this guy Foreman tells me he came up from L.A. And now just tell us, would you, just where in L.A.?
Well, Venice, actually.
And when did you last see L.A., Mr. Foreman?
This morning, about 8 o'clock.
Ah. Well, how'd it look?
Well, same as ever. The same as it looked ever since I moved out here 3 years ago.
Chief.
Yes, Dan. Look at this here dollar bill he had. Hmm? And the coins.
I don't, sir.
I see.
What?
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, that does it, Stan. Well, Mr. Foreman, I afraid now I got a charge to hold you on.
Yeah?
Counterfeit.
Oh.
One of the worst jobs I've ever seen. The dates on this money are all 25, 30 years the future.
This here coin, this half dollar, whose head's that supposed to be?
It's a Kennedy half dollar.
And who's Kennedy supposed to be?
He was the president. Okay. Now, all right. Now, what is this, anyway?
That's what I want to know, Mr. Foreman. What's a guy doing with the bunch of money marked 1969 and 1972 and such when it's 1943?
What?
Looks like somebody really slipped up when they furnished you your pocket money.
Hey, now, what year did you say this was?
1943.
Hey, all right. Now, come on. Now, this is really good. I mean, you people are putting me on real good, but... Hey, it can't happen that way. I mean, I read all the science fiction books, too, you know. It never happens this way. You just don't drive into a time warp. I mean, you need a special machine, some kind of gadget. So you better refine your act.
Look, I mean, you guys ought to watch Mission Impossible.
Yeah, okay. No, really all right, everybody in your post now. Hey, Stan, would you hang on to that money and stuff? Foreman, now until you decide to tell us where you came from and what you're doing here, I'm afraid you're under arrest. For your own safety, I'm putting you downstairs in the shelter.
Listen, all of you, I could save you a lot of trouble. Now, for your information, the United States never got bombed. And if you're pretending it's 1943, that's fine. But they never got to us. Believe me.
Yeah. Tell that to my wife. She was in L.A. the night they bombed the downtown. All right, Stan. Take him down. Stay with him.
Kennedy halves. I used to see those all the time.
Wow.
Yep. That was one heck of a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
No kidding. I wonder if that's when the Flash turned into the Flash, was in the same lightning bolt.
Yo.
Maybe so.
Tune in.
But I like this.
But interesting story.
Yeah.
Not only did he go back to 1943, it's a 1943 that actually didn't exist in our history.
So not only is it time travel, it's parallel universe time travel. He's on another Earth, so we're getting more bang for our proverbial buck, counterfeit buck, that is.
True. Time travel has so many paradoxes, which I think is the origin of the time, you know, the alternate universes and stuff.
Yeah, that it's a wealth of stories. Time travel is even more so than zombies. You can do a lot with a zombie, but time travel is much more flexible.
Yes, there's literally an infinite number of possibilities in storytelling, I think.
Yeah, I I've never really been into zombie stories, but I've always enjoyed time travel stories.
That's why Doctor Who is still going on after, 70 years? 80
Amazing.
Years? I don't know.
Yep,
amazing.
The fan base just won't let it go, and they keep coming up with more series. It's kind of interesting on some of the channels. They're showing classic Doctor Who, which is some of the earliest ones. Really, really interesting.
The best I was able to do binge watch was from the very first one with Doctor Who, William Hartnell, The Unearthly Child, all the way up to the Sylvester McCoy years. So that was Doctor, it was 4, 5, 6. That was in one sitting.
Wow.
I don't remember much after that.
Yeah, I blacked out.
It was all a blur.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all a bad dream. It was a good dream, but it was all a bad dream.
It was all a good dream.
Yeah. So that was my best bin watching, but I have seen pretty much every Doctor, including Peter Cushing's versions as well.
The worst binge watching I ever did is my kids and I used to have movie marathons for New Year's Eve to wait to ring in the new year. And I think the worst one is we watched all 5 of the original Planet of the Apes movies back to back to back to back to back.
Wow.
That was fun.
Talk about paranoia.
Yeah. That was some mighty fine movie watching.
Yeah.
Yes. And I still marvel at the makeup.
Oh, yeah. So far ahead of its time.
I think I've done more television binge watching than movie. And you know you've watched too much of it. I, for a while, I was watching an eye on all those Criminal Minds. And when you start having dreams that you're part of the Criminal Minds team, it's time to change the channel. That's what I say.
So sit on the couch and talk to us about what this means.
Yeah, what are you thinking? Yeah.
You don't want to know.
Yes. You hope it wasn't a Freudian dream or anything weird like that.
No kidding.
That was one weird dude. But we got more terrific radio as we wrap up this kind of a chilling tale almost here from Crisis along the Dark Road.
We were lucky again.
What do you do, Polson? For a living, I mean.
I'm a pharmacist. Own a store down here in town.
A druggist, huh? And you tell me the year is 1943?
Of course it's 1943.
Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Polson. I was born in 1943. 30 years ago. The year is 1973.
Sure.
It is.
All right. I said, sure, whatever you say.
Now, look, suppose I can prove to you it's 1973. Would you believe me?
Well, guess I'd have to.
Yeah, okay. Now, you got a radio?
Yeah, there's one around here somewhere.
One down here so we can listen to the invasion now for when it comes.
Invasion? What invasion?
The coast, when the Japs invade the coast.
But they never invaded.
Oh, here it is. Battery set. No batteries are any good.
All right. Now give it here. Whew, what an antique. Okay, now if we can get this thing to work.
Batteries are probably dead. Here, let me have a look.
No, it's through that little light on the dial there. Though.
Well, there we go.
Okay, now. Now we ought to be able to pick up a good strong L.A. station or one from San Francisco.
The stations go off the air when there's an air raid alert, you know. Most...
Los Angeles is returning to the air now following the red alert. Here are the latest war developments from the Blue Network newsroom in Los Angeles. Another Japanese bombing strike has caused some damage over the beach areas within the hour. Unconfirmed reports say portions of the Douglas plant at Santa Monica were destroyed. An unknown number of civilian residences also report damage. As usual, there was no immediate report of casualties. Air defense spokesmen estimate that between 60 and 75 planes took part in the raid tonight. At least 5 planes were shot down.
Oh, God, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
And in the desert near Salt Lake City. Our review of national news.
Fighting continues 3 miles north of Minneapolis, where elements of the German terrorist unit have reportedly seized
the National Guard armory in the town of Windom. Meanwhile, German naval units have resumed their shelling of portions of Manhattan.
But Eastern Regional Defense Headquarters say at least one German
vessel was sunk by shore batteries. And in the Pacific, the Japanese military government at Honolulu has broadcast the warning.
I can't believe all this. It's a fake. It's got to be a fake.
Well, then, what would you believe? A newspaper?
Oh, they can be fake, too.
I got old
plans newspaper down here. Here, grab a handful.
All right. Look, these are all from 1943. That doesn't prove anything.
You see, what I think's happened to you is you were caught in one of the bombings, probably. Got shell shock. Now, in a case like that, it's not impossible for your mind to sort of reject the present. You know?
Then how do you explain the dates on the money I have?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and the credit cards you've never seen before, right?
Now, looky here. I don't have to explain these things. Seems to me you're the one who has some explaining to do. Now, Chief Doty isn't a well-educated man, but he's nobody's fool. And sooner or later, he'll find out the truth. Or one of them Army intelligence officers will. And just between you and me, I'd a heck of a lot rather have Doty work on me than one of those jokers. You get what I mean?
Mr. Paulson, maybe I can convince you of something. I can tell you exactly what the future will bring. Would you like to know that? Huh? Do you think I could sit here and make all this up? You know the date this war will end? The Germans will surrender in, I think it's May of 1945. Then the Japanese will surrender in August of 45. And you know what else? The reason they surrender is because our country will destroy 2 of their cities in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And we're going to do it with an atomic bomb bigger than any bomb you ever heard of.
That's so.
Yes, and another thing. President Roosevelt is going to die in 1945.
Well, there, you see? Now there's a flaw.
Now, what do you mean?
You say Roosevelt's supposed to die in 1945?
Yes, he did, in, I think it was April.
Son, Roosevelt died 3 years ago during the campaign of 1940. Wendell L. Wilkie is president.
Well, they look like they missed us tonight. Everything okay there, Stan?
Oh, fine, Chief.
By the way, did Mr. Foreman decide to tell you what kind of game he's playing?
I'm not playing any game. I don't know why or how, but I'm in the wrong time. Look, I can see why you suspect me of being a spy, maybe you're an agent or something, but because of my car and everything. But believe me, I'm an American. But I'm confused.
Yeah, well, what do you say, Stan?
I'd say he's suffering from shell shock or delusion or something. But there's the matter of his funny little car and his money and those cards. You know, this may sound dangerous to you, Chief, but I think the most intelligent thing to do is turn him loose. Let him try to get back to where he came from.
Yeah, but back where?
Well, where he came from. He's no spy.
All right. Okay, on one condition. All right, Foreman, now you get your car and 2 gallons of gas and you hightail it back to wherever you came from.
You mean it?
Just one thing, though. I'm going to follow you.
Well, okay, sure. Only I don't know how I got in this time, in this place. What if I can't get back?
Well, now that's going to be just too bad.
Either that or none of this ever happened. Only thing is, only I can see their lights. They're the chief's car behind me. I gotta get back. How was that? Thunder. Thunder. Yeah, like it was when I got on the wrong road, maybe. Maybe I can head back into the storm and get back again. Gee, rain. Whew, it's cloudbursts, just like before. But they're still behind me. I've got to get away. I don't remember the road. Narrow. Twists and turns. Does that turn?
Stan, hey, help. Help me get this door open here, will you? Uh-oh.
Nope. All right, pull out the flares, will you, Stan? Oh, and get us that invocation. Unit 1 to Brightville Radio. On that Volkswagen you were chasing, get a make on California plate 143 HPF. And send a coroner. 4 miles off the freeway on the Brightville Road. I'll stand by till he gets here. Unit 1 out.
His ID says his name is Formann. Mark Form. Address in Venice.
Venice? Gee. Yeah, I wonder what the hell he was doing way up here on a lousy night like this.
Well, end of the line for Mark Formann. But maybe it's a relief after all. He finally found his way back along a dark road. Featured on Crisis was Jack Morton as Mark Formann, with Mark Wayne, Douglas Young, Ross Perry, and Bob Robertson. Along a Dark Road was written and produced by yours truly, Jim French. Join us next time for Crisis.
Like the hooting of a lovesick collie. All right, that was Long and Dark Road from Crisis. Another really, really good story. Dave, you're amazing.
Here, here. There, there.
I don't know which one of these turn it is, but... House Radio proudly presents another garless moral of the story.
You got it, CW? You got it? Okay. In a guess of life and death, 50%...
Wait. You didn't start out right.
Apologies to Gar.
That's better.
Of his own moral. In a guess of life and death, 50% alive is much better than 50% dead. However, 50% dead is 100% dead in any mortician's logbook.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
No.
Wow. Critic.
Sound bite to the rescue. Yes.
Sound bites are us as we travel through time. And we were talking on last break about how flexible you can be with time travel stories. And I think my first exposure was the Irwin Allen, no, not Irwin Allen. Was it Irwin Allen? The Time Machine from 1960.
Time Tunnel?
No, Time Machine.
What's it?
Oh, the Time Machine.
Time Machine. Yeah, George Pell. Thank you. George Pell.
George Pell. Yeah.
Pell. My pal. My pal George, that was my first exposure, and then very shortly thereafter, Time Tunnel show was on television. That was Irwin Allen. Yes.
Yeah, I would think that was about the same for me, only when I saw it on television, they had retitled it The Golden Rings.
Really?
Because those rings that they spun that that talked to history, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's they had called it The Golden Rings.
Oh, no kidding.
Just so when they sold it to television, perhaps they called it that. I'm not sure.
Huh.
Interesting. I have to look that one up, Golden Rings.
That was a neat concept, and it's very similar to the video disc of today. You know?
It's that same movie. They just retitled it for television, at least for general release in television.
I did not know this.
And coming up to the future, of course, you have the Doctor Strange going into multi-universes and multi-time frames.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Spider-Man who went to Doctor Strange, and then another Doctor Strange movie is coming out, and Doctor Strange is meeting the Scarlet Witch. So that's going to be really flipping the time streams all over the place. We're crossing the streams, a la Ghostbusters.
Yeah. That was odd, too, because it was like, don't cross the streams, don't cross the streams. Okay, cross the streams. Make up my mind. Crossing streams. Anyway, we are wrapping it up with a really, really classic science fiction series, X-1.
Ah, yes.
And I really love this story. This is a fun story, but it's not a funny story. But it's a fun story. It's just, I remember when I bought from Radio Spirits a set. It was, I think I got it out of in Chicago, out of Metro Goldwyn Memories. And it was a set of cassettes, and this was one of the there were six cassettes, three episodes of each one. They were 90-minute tapes, and this was one of them. And this was quickly became one of my favorites on that series.
Sounds like an Ice Age tale.
Yeah, this and a Gun for Dinosaur. Those two became my favorites.
I just heard that one the other day for the second or third time. It's on one of my discs
I
made.
Story.
Yes.
I love that story. I do.
Yes.
We've aired it.
Very good.
We've aired it. We shared it here on Erie House.
Yep.
And go back into the archives. It's there.
Listen to all of them. All 500 and whatever shows. I think we're up to what, 592 now?
Something like that. Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Easy binge listen. Just sit and binge listen.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, there's been watching, and now there's binge listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There are worse things you could do with your life as we jump into X-1 with Project Mastodon.
Yes. Are you familiar with this one, Dale, right?
I don't think so, or I don't.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to hear about 5 minutes, and
you
I'll
didn't
know.
Yeah. Well, this was episode number 54, and it happened June 5th of 1956.
Now stay tuned for X-1 on NBC. Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents...
X minus one...
Tonight, Project Mastodon by Clifford D. Simak. Mr. Secretary, may I present Mr. Hudson of...
Mastodonia.
Mastodonia. Mr. Hudson, this is the Secretary of State.
Honored, sir.
Now, as Chief of Protocol for the Department, I've informed...
All right, Mr. Kingston, I haven't much time. I'm due at a meeting of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at 2:00. If you pass Mr. Hudson in, I'll assume everything is quite proper. Now then, Mr. Hudson, I understand you've been here several times seeking recognition for your country.
Well, that's right. I had a hard time making your staff believe I was in earnest.
And are you, Mr. Hudson?
Oh, very much so.
You are an American, Mr. Hudson. I assume you are acting as a representative for Macedonia rather than as a principal in the matter.
Oh, no. I claim dual citizenship, sir. I am a Macedonian.
You pardon me, but I've never heard of your country.
Well, it's a new nation, but quite legitimate. We have a constitution, a democratic form of government, duly elected officials, and a code of laws. We are a free, peace-loving people, and we are possessed of a vast amount of natural resources. And...
Please tell me, Mr. Hudson, just where are you located? I gathered it was somewhere in Asia?
Oh, no. Technically, you are our nearest neighbor.
That's ridiculous.
Now, look here, Hudson, you can't... If you'll give me just a moment, Mr. Secretary, I have considerable evidence...
I'll have to ask you to leave. I'm sorry, sir,
Go ahead, Mr. Hudson. You've submitted a document signed by a certain Wesley Adams.
Well, he's our first president. You see, we'd like to establish diplomatic relations. After all, we are a sister republic. We'd like to negotiate a trade agreement, and, of course, we'd be grateful for assistance under the foreign aid program.
Naturally. Who wouldn't?
Mr. Secretary.
All right, Kingston.
We're prepared to offer something in return for one thing. Sanctuary.
Sanctuary?
I understand that in the present state of international tensions, a foolproof sanctuary is not something to be sneezed at.
All right, Kingston, I think we've had enough. Show Mr. Hudson out.
All right, let's have the story again.
Look, mister, I don't want any trouble.
Just tell the story again. You want to cooperate with the FBI, don't you?
Oh, sure I do. Sure, but I just don't want any trouble.
All right, start over. You found the briefcase in the booth.
Yeah, that's right. I brought my beer over from the bar, you know? And this fella just went out a minute before, so I figured he must have left it. I run after him.
You didn't see him, though?
No. So I... Well, I just kind of looked in the briefcase. You know, I mean, to identify it. That's all. I don't steal.
Right, then you came to us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, after all, when I saw that stuff, well, I just figured I was way over my head, you know?
All right. Don't say anything about this. Do you understand? We'd rather you just forgot the whole thing.
Oh, sure. Listen, some things I don't want to remember. You know?
Hello? Is this Dr. Harrison of the Paleontology Department? This is Mr. Jenkins at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have some movie film we'd like you to look over. Huh? Oh, we acquired it. Big shaggy elephants and tigers with teeth down to their neck. No, it's not fakes. Our labs are sure of that. Whatever is on those films is real. No, we don't know. That's why we called you. We haven't the slightest idea where those pictures were shot. We can't even guess.
Ow!
What's the matter, Coop?
One of those flying hypodermics. This is a fine, healthy spot. Mosquitoes as big as hummingbirds.
Oh, careful, son. You're knocking the climate of the capital city of Macedonia.
Yeah, some capital city. One palm tree and a Boy Scout pup tent. Wes, this is the wildest thing we ever did. What if Chuck can't get back?
Chuck Hudson is a man of many parts. Have faith.
Supposing they're putting him in jail, or something might happen to the time unit or the helicopter. We should have gone along.
Do you think they'll do it, Coop?
Who, what?
The United States. Do you think they'll recognize us?
Not if they know that Macedonia is the United States 50,000 years ago.
Oh. Well, we have to get legal recognition first, otherwise it wouldn't be safe. Well, there goes that mastodon again. Good old Buster.
Where is he?
Right there. Over by the groves, huh? Ah, he's lonely.
What?
He probably is. He must have been run out of the herd by some younger bull. That's why he hangs around like some homeless dog.
See, one thing worries me, Wes. I know you dreamed up the time unit, and we all chipped in for the helicopter, but can you just claim territory on your own like we did?
Why not? We found it. It's ours.
Hey, Buster's coming this way. Give me the right.
No, wait, wait, wait. Maybe he's only bluffing.
If that mastodon comes through here, he'll stomp everything flat. I'll give him three steps more.
Oh, it'd be such a shame to plaster him. He's such a nice old monster.
One more step and he gets it.
Hey, that's Chuck. He's back.
I wish he could fly that helicopter better. He might wreck it.
Well, anyway, he scared Buster off.
Poke those fires up, Wes.
Oh, they're high enough, Coop.
You don't want a saber-tooth waltzing through here, do you?
Well, we better get a stockade up. You know, some night a herd of mastodon will come busting in here, and if they ever hit the helicopter, we'll be dead ducks. We'd never get back. We'd be stuck back here in the Pleistocene Age. I won't feel safe till we get another helicopter.
Those mastodons carry a lot of ivory. And the mammoths up north.
Oh, sure, sure. And get socked in the jug for smuggling ivory. The only way to cash in on the time unit is to get diplomatic recognition for Macedonia.
We've got a good case. You said so yourself.
What, a saber-tooth?
Down by the grove.
I don't like that. Sounds closer. Hey, poke up that fire, will you, Coop?
Oh, well, that's Buster. There he is. He's tangling with a saber tooth.
I'll lay 3-5 on Buster.
Cat's drawing blood. I'll take $5 of it.
Come on, Buster. Roll on him, will you?
Cat's on his head now. Hey.
Hey, he's coming this way.
Look out.
Wes, turn him. Shoot.
Dad?
Yeah.
The tiger's gone. He won't get far.
Neither will we.
Oh, no. No. Yeah, good old Buster. Trust him to drop dead right across the helicopter.
Well, we can fix it, can't we?
We probably won't even be able to roll Buster off of it. And the rotor blades are twisted and the frame is a mess. A total mess, gentlemen. We are in trouble. Macedonia faces a crisis.
Kind of sounds like a college. Hail, hail, Macedonia. My alma mater.
If they had time. There you go. So it sounds more like a Marx Brothers movie that way, though.
I went to College of Stone and Rock.
Macedonia University.
Our alma mater.
Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors back then was only rock because there was no paper or scissors yet. So
yes.
You know, so.
Let us play game
every,
of rock.
Every time you played it, it was always a tie, you know?
Yes. Rock again. Damn it.
Why always get Rock? Ugg hate Rock.
We haven't heard from Ugg in a while.
We haven't heard from Ugg for a while. We'll have to I have to dig into some history again and see if we can find more from Ugg.
Speaking of time travel, maybe, who knows? Maybe Ugg will show up tomorrow. One never knows. One never, ever knows.
Indeed.
Oh, geez. Beaten up by a black cat. What the hell do you want?
As long as you don't cross your path, you're okay.
He wants more old-time radio is what he wants.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, there's an answer for that, you know.
Sure. We'll have time for extra stuff, too, perhaps, as we wrap up Project Mastodon from X-1.
Herb, you're the key man in the administration. You swing a big stick on the hill. You can't give up on Project Mastodon now.
Les, it's been 10 years. If they were coming back, they'd be here by now.
Look, I've been working on this ever since we got those films. I've traced their lives from the time they were born till the time they disappeared. Adams was the brains. The other two were quite capable of helping him carry it out. Hudson knew all the angles.
Les, I've sneaked your appropriation through 4 times. Now, there's a limit.
But I've got the proof. We've had every paleontologist in the country go over those films. They couldn't be faked. Who would know to put lynx tassels on the ears of saber-toothed tigers? Who would know that young mastodons were black? And the location? We tracked down Adams Farm just from landmarks in the prehistoric landscape in those films. We've got to contact them.
Look, Les, even assuming it's all true, a planet has only a grand total of resources. If we get Adams' device...
Time machine.
If we exploit resources of prehistoric America, won't we be robbing ourselves of our own heritage?
Look, Herb, I've been over all that with the AEC. There's a lot of lead in southwestern Wisconsin. If we go back far enough, we can catch it when it's uranium.
The whole research project hasn't turned up a lead on Adams' machine, if it exists.
We've got to keep watching that farm. They might return. We've got to keep looking for them, no matter how long it takes.
Listen, Wes, we can't stay around here much longer. Old Buster's getting a little too strong.
Yeah, well, I'll have the time unit clear the helicopter in a few minutes.
Then we'll just have to move camp upwind.
Hmm?
Look at him. 22 days since he dropped dead. Bless his heart. Already those vultures are half into him.
I'll have him picked clean inside of a week.
Give me the hex wrench, will you? Wes, is it all right, the time unit?
Well, we won't know until we try it, Cooch. And then, of course, it's too late.
Well, either it does or it doesn't. Problem is... how are we going to use it without the copters?
Couldn't we take a chance on using it on the ground? No, we have to get up in the air. You want to take a chance of arriving in the 20th century about 6 feet underground.
Wait a minute, Wes. It's got to be higher here than in the 20th century. Look, these hills have stood here since the Jurassic era. They got to be weathered down.
Yeah, no. The only safe way is to build a platform about 12 feet high. That should be enough to clear us.
But suppose we come out in the other end 2 feet higher.
Well, we fall. What would you rather do, take a chance on a broken leg or stay here?
Okay. Now, what do we build the platform out of?
There you are, Wes.
All right. I got it. Chuck, comes the next stone.
Now, wait a minute, Wes.
Hey, look out. You want a whole pile to come down.
I'm sorry. Okay, Wes, hand it up.
Yep.
That's about 12 feet, isn't it?
Well, it ought to be. It took us 10 days to pile it up. Look out, I'm coming down.
All right, don't start an avalanche. Well, pretty soon we'll be able to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
If the unit works.
Now, that isn't all. We don't have any proof we've been back here. We'll be stone broke. Another helicopter would cost $30,000. Can't walk into a bank and borrow 30 grand to take a short trip to the Stone Age.
Wes, where do you figure we are? I mean, on the farm.
Well, I think we're clear of the barn and the silo.
I hope so.
The way I figured, we're straddle that barbed wire fence at the south end of the orchard.
Well, we might as well give it a try.
All right, I'll get the units. You two climb up on top of the pyramid. You ready?
Think it'll work, Wes?
I don't know, Coop. Got pretty well banged up when Buster hit the copter. I haven't got the equipment to check the waveforms. All right, stand around close. Bend your knees a little. Might be quite a drop.
Go ahead. Push the button.
Okay. One. Two. Three.
Nothing.
Doesn't work.
Well, that's that. We're stuck.
I'm sorry, Les.
There's nothing you can do, Herb. You've been out of government for 5 years.
If there's anything I can do, the board of directors instructed me to offer you...
No, thank you.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, now that you're retired.
I bought a farm.
Oh?
In Wisconsin.
You haven't given up, have you?
I'm the only one. They closed Project Mastodon down 3 years ago, and they've been hinting ever since that I'd be happier retired. Old Bowers, he's the crackpot from Project Mastodon.
I'm sorry, Les, but it has been 20 years.
Yes, yes, it has. But think of it. From a military point of view, hidden bases in enemy territory itself, centuries removed in time, yet only seconds away. If we had bases like that and shelters...
Relax, Les. It's all over.
Sure, sure. It's all over.
Missed.
You should be more careful. We've only been stuck a month now. Someday we'll run out of ammo, and then it's bows and arrows.
It's cold. There'll be snow soon.
Coop, I'm worried about Wes. He takes it pretty hard.
As long as he's tinkering on that time unit, he's happy.
Oh, he isn't going to repair the unit. He hasn't got a chance. Back in the workshop with the tools, maybe.
Well, anyway, the hunting's great.
Well, maybe we better start saving bullets for big game. We won't be lords of creation around here long without our guns.
Yeah, and if one of us gets sick or breaks a leg... Well, nobody lives forever.
Wes is the lucky one. He's got that time unit to tinker with. Come on. We better get back to camp.
Hey. Hey, Wes! Come on. Wes! Wes! There's no sign of him. Wait, there's a note on the door. Wes! Never mind, listen. Dear guys, I don't want to get your hopes up again and have you disappointed, but I think I may have found the trouble. I'm going to try it out. If it works, I'll be back to get you. Wes.
What, a fool?
That unit can't work. He must be off his rocker.
Wait a minute. Coop, look, that pyramid. It took us 10 days to pile those stones up.
It's gone. The pyramid of rocks. It's gone.
Oh, what the... Of all the confounded... Now, what's going on out there? Rocks? Who dumped those rocks? My car, who's out there?
It's all right.
Don't you move, mister. I got a .45 pointed at you.
Well, I can explain.
Well, you better. There was a brand new car where you dumped that load of rocks. Who the devil are you?
My name is Wesley Adams.
Adams? Man, where have you been all these years?
Well, I don't suppose you'll believe me, but the fact is...
I've been waiting for you for 25 years. The others all gave up.
I'm sorry about your car.
Oh, never mind. I'll be right down. Now, don't touch a thing. Don't go anywhere.
Be 25 years. It's only been a few months in Macedonian time.
25 years. Man, it's been a long wait.
The unit must have been badly calibrated. You see, it isn't accurate for more than 50,000 years at a jump if the setting has moved.
Well, we'd better call Washington. I imagine you'll want the same terms as before.
Hmm? Terms?
Yeah, recognition, economic aid from Macedonia, defense pact. Now, listen, Adams, you've got those saps over a barrel. You can get anything you want now.
The unit... I'll have to calibrate to the day to go back for them.
Oh, don't worry about it. You can have every scientist in the country working on it now. Oh, you've got them right where you want them. Hello? Long distance. This is Major General Leslie Bowers, retired. I want to put a call to the President of the United States, White House, Washington. You can tell them I'm placing the call for the President of the Republic of Macedonia.
Come on, Og, son of fire. Put another log on. It's cold.
It's good cold storage for the furs. Boy, when Wes gets back, we'll be millionaires. Furs, ginseng root, ivory.
If he gets back. It's been 5 years.
He'll come back. I feel it in my bones.
Well, he better find it before we get too old to enjoy anything. Unfortunately, there's no Social Security in Macedonia.
Don't you worry. Wes is working on it right now. I can feel it.
Hello, Charlie. Something just came through on the ticker. I want you to get a background story on it. And we just recognized Macedonia. What? How should I know where it is? Look it up in the encyclopedia. Huh? No, the item says formal recognition was delayed 5 years until communication could be established. Certain technical difficulties. What? I don't know. Wherever it is, I don't see what difficulties could hold up 5 years. It stands to reason wherever the place is, you could walk there in 5 years. Nah, it's not important. You know these postage stamp countries. Monaco, Luxembourg, they're all alike. What's so different about Macedonia?
You have just heard X-1. Presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the Theodore Sturgeon novelette, The Skills of Xanadu. When a malignant world endangers another, surgery is the usual answer. But perhaps there's another solution, to kill it with kindness. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Project Mastodon, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Clifford D. Simak and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Floyd Mack, Dick Hamilton, Charles Penman, Raymond Edward Johnson, Frank Maxwell, Robert Hastings, John Larkin, and Joseph Julian. Your announcer is Jerry Damon. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Another great story from X.
Listen next week for the Murray Leinster story, If You Was a Motlin, a tale in which the childlike natives of a strange planet pull a real switch on a red-headed female witch and everyone doubles in brass. That's next week on X-1.
Hey. X-1 never fails to entertain.
always good.
And even and even had your one of your favorite Raymond in there, Raymond Edward Johnson, as he was the guy that bought the farm there at the end.
Ah, I missed his voice.
As we almost
all right.
As we almost do in the end, you know, we almost buy the farm. Except for CW.
True. The other thing we do is figure out which of us gets this last one. Curiously, Erie House Radio proudly presents A Garless Moral of the Story.
Got a CW?
Oh, well, if you're going to leave it to me, one moment, please. Please stand by. We are having...
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That sounds just about right.
I always hate it when I stub my toe. Yeah.
Let's see if... We have that here. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yes. Let's see, where is it? Let's see. And to with all due respect to Gar, let's see. This would be what, the moral of the story?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Prune party pants led the way to adult diapers. Ta-da!
Hey, I think that was... I think that was for tomorrow.
Sneak preview of tomorrow.
A preview of tomorrow.
One might also say, however... The problem with the unbelievable is getting someone to believe you.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Oh, wait. It's kicking me out.
And perhaps if you're going to camp somewhere in the Pliocene era, be sure to camp in a no mastodon zone. There you, that would be what I would say. Learn from the story.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
Yes. Precisely.
Got some time left. We can have a little more fun here. A little radio fun.
I like fun as well. Anyone have a wheel to spin or a wood nickel to insert into the...
I beg your pardon.
Yes. Yes, I went there, so there.
Okay. Well, let's do the spin.
Okay.
Oh.
Dave, why don't you take a saunter up to the dais or dais?
Well,
and,
I don't saunter very well anymore, but I do hobble, so I am hobbling up to the wheel, reaching up as far as my shrinking frame. The height that is, can be to as high as it can be, and I give it a nice big pull.
What you talking about, Will?
What the hell was that?
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Thank you very much. Gracie, what did you do today?
I went to the auto show.
You went yesterday.
Yes, but I didn't go in.
Why not?
Well, the sign said, see the cars of tomorrow, so I went back today to see them.
Gracie, the sign you saw yesterday didn't mean that you should see the cars of tomorrow today.
What?
Well, what you said, what you did was right.
Oh.
But I imagine that they have some interesting new developments in these new cars.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, but the cars are full of new ideas.
Oh, well.
Like what?
Well, one car has buttons that work the seat.
I see.
You press a button and the seat raises up or goes down.
Goes down, yeah.
And you press another button and the seat moves forward or back. And you press another button and it turns sideways.
Well, that makes it pretty easy to handle, doesn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. You still have to do your sitting the old-fashioned way.
That we'll always have to do by hand.
Because they have buttons for everything. A button to start and a button to stop. A button for a left turn and a button for a right turn.
A button to put the top down.
And a button to go forward and a button to go back. But they need one more button.
They need one more button for what?
To get you off the freeway.
Hey, that's a very good idea.
Yeah, I know. I told it to the man in charge, and he agreed with me. He said, lady, no matter what kind of a car you're driving, you'll always have a few buttons missing.
Yeah, well, when you've got that many buttons, you can afford to have a few missing.
Well, I never thought of that. And then I told them how they could save gas by making their cars twice as long.
Twice as long? How will that save gas?
Well, the longer the car is, the closer it'll be to where it's going.
How about coming back?
Yeah, how about that?
Anything else?
Well, cars nowadays have a lot of gadgets, but what they really need is a periscope, and that they haven't got.
A periscope?
Well, of course. Then when you miss the bridge and drive into the river, you can look in the periscope and see if the motorcycle policeman is still following you.
What about your rearview mirror?
Well, what do you think I was looking in when I missed the bridge?
Good night.
Rosemary, our young lady of rhythm, sings Bob White.
Bob White. Bob White. You gotta listen to Bob White. I was talking to the Rainbow Will. He says you got a corny trill. Oh, Bob White, what you gonna sing tonight? I was talking to the Mockingbird. He says you are the worst. Oh, Bob White, what you gonna sing tonight? Oh, even the owl tells me you're foul, singing those lullaby notes. Now don't be a bring down if you can swing down. Give me those high notes. Now there's a lot of talk about you, Bob, and they're saying that you're off the car. Oh, fake it, Mr. B, take it. Follow me, Bob White. The first thing you've got to learn something there. Even the owl, why he told me that you follow when you're singing all those lullaby notes. Don't be a bring down, tell me if it's a swing down. Give me those high notes. Now there's a lot of talk about how you bob, and they're saying that you're off the call. Oh, take it, Mr. C, take it. Follow me, Baba. We're gonna break it up tonight.
Yeah, we go a little sneak in a little tune there to wrap things up. More time travel tomorrow night with CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Join us, won't you, for A Point in Time.
Absolutely. And then at 8 o'clock, if he's up to it, you can tune into that Twitch TV thing for Gar the Ghoul and horrible horror starring Gar the Ghoul. Sorry, I said that wrong.
Yep, and real quick, where would you go if you could travel in time? Day first.
I would go back to the the golden age of radio and listen to where I could there. Absolutely. Take my digital recorder with me.
I would go to New York to the very, very first Star Trek convention where everybody was there, including all the fire marshals, because they almost shut the place down because they got more fans than they ever anticipated. I would love to get in there.
For me, it's Dinosaurs. Yep. Tomorrow night, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Join us, won't you?
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And
when next we meet in Frankenstone.
Come along.
Don't come alone.
I knew that was going to happen. I just knew it. Don't come alone. Bye.
Oh, my. Hey, three really good tales tonight.
Well, glad I decided to take a look at the Facebook thingy.
Yes.
I hope I did all right for a last-minute replacement.
You were fabulous, as always.
As always.
Some insights into some Ray Bradbury and some of his other things, and into the Illustrated Man, all kinds of interesting things. So thank you so much for calling in and being here once again.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Remember, you're part of the fam damly.
That's right. You are part of the Erie House 4.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
The Fab 4.
Well, thank you very much. And to anyone listening in the after party, I am a Ray Bradbury fan, so I apologize about saying he may have dropped acid. Maybe he did drop acid. I don't think he did, but I don't know. When he got the idea for the Illustrated Man, that kind of really sounded a cut from the same cloth of that era. So Mr. Bradbury somehow... Maybe he did. I just think that
what it was is he was more of a short story writer than a novelist. And I think that because of that, he had this collection of short stories, and he used that character to kind of, in a sense, tie them together, much like any anthology radio or television series.
It seems likely.
I know, but the way he wrote it, it was out of character from Dandelion Wine and other things he wrote, Dandelion Wine and Something Wicked This Way Comes, Fahrenheit 451. I mean, I put it as a phase of when Picasso did his blue period and then he did the more famous period. Maybe that was his, just sort of switching gears a little bit, because that's a weird book and it made a weird movie. Weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Any anthology collection, this is like when they did Mars is Heaven. It was a 2-night, 8-hour or at least 6-hour miniseries when they did it on television. And
well,
it's because
so was,
you're trying to
the Martian
put the stories. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Well, was it Martian Chronicles or was that?
Is that the one with Rock Hudson that was in it?
Rock Hudson and Darren McGavin, yeah.
Yeah, Martian Chronicles.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Forgot Darren McGavin.
You know, it took 6 hours
to
kind of tell us. Yeah. And it's even, what was that? Trying to remember, I think I was after Kolchak, so. He kept busy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was always in demand. He could always get work. A great actor like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. Huge fan. So, I take it between the three of us, only Dale did not get to meet Mr. Bradbury.
I did not get to meet Mr. Bradbury.
Well, I technically didn't get to meet him. He did a talk. Now, I did get to meet Harlan Ellison, but I didn't get... I was there for his talk. It was very interesting, but I didn't actually get to meet him. But I did get to meet Harlan Ellison after his talk, so I had to buy a book to do it, but I did it.
Well, I did it both ways. I bought a book and got an autograph, but I also saw him in the talk as well. Same thing with Ray Bradbury. I didn't get to meet him face-to-face, but I'm of the opinion if I was in the same audience when he was doing the talk, and I consider that meeting him. That's my definition of it anyway.
we'll fly with that. It works.
I had Harlan Ellison sign the... What was it? No, it was not. It wasn't the soup sandwich. What was it? The other one, Paladin of the Hour.
Oh.
Paladin of the Hour. That story. I had him sign that because that is one of my favorite. When the Twilight Zone came back in the 80s, and Danny Kaye gave a performance of a lifetime in that story. That was my favorite story, maybe of all the Twilight Zones they did that year, and. So I had him sign that one. But you can't talk to him about Twilight Zone because he got kicked off as creative consultant in the second season, so he doesn't talk about the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, he did never really liked being referred to as a quote-unquote sci-fi writer. There were a couple of television magazine shows where he walked off when someone called him a sci-fi writer versus a writer. You know... What's he saying?
Well, you know what? And if you have a niche, you can run with it. But I can kind of understand that, too, because when you think of certain writers who write great pieces that are outside of the genre that they're normally associated with, Stephen King with Shawshank Redemption,
right.
and other tales that weren't quite as popular, but, you know, Bradbury, too, he wrote tales that had absolutely nothing to do with horror or sci-fi.
Yeah, absolutely.
As so I can see not wanting to be pigeonholed, but at the same time, get the love where you can.
Well, no kidding. I mean,
yeah.
George R.R. Martin, you know, he knows which side of his bread to butter. Game of Thrones, he's written other stuff, but Game of Thrones, that's you put a few coins in his back pocket.
Sure. I mean, in a way, I can understand when an actor says, well, I don't want to be typecast the rest of my career. Well, but then again, you might have a career for, like, ever if you accept that. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do is.
Well, Mr. Shatner, I mean, he doesn't own Captain Kirk, but as far as anyone's concerned, he's pretty much is Captain Kirk.
Yeah. But he certainly has had a varied career since then. Very clear.
He has had a fabulous career before Trek and afterwards. I mean, he worked with everybody. He worked with Yul Brynner and Richard Basehart and Mee Jay Cobb and the brothers Karamazov. He worked with Ilya Kazan in, I can't remember the movie. He holds a claim to fame for what it's worth as being the only one of the few actors to do a full movie in Esperanto.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And he also, what was the, Dale helped me here. The guy that, Little Shop of Horrors, the producer.
Corman.
Oh, yes.
Roger Corman. He also
Roger
has
Corman.
The distinction of starring in the only Roger Corman film that lost money.
They probably gave too much of a budget. Something he wasn't accustomed to.
I see the movie. I think the film was the budget on that one, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Roger Corman must have had a bad week to do that. I mean, practically they were using kitchen utensils for everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I love what he did. I do it a lot when I have the room to do it, when I do hosting segments and such. If I have the room to do it, I set up a 3-camera shoot, kind of at 90-degree angles for one side and the other, and then a 4K in the middle, which I can get a mid and a full shot with. And by doing that, I can get 4 shots with one scene.
Do you use a proper camera, or I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, do you use a camera or do you use a phone?
No, I use a camera. I did do one sketch. When I got this latest phone, I did do one sketch that was completely done, including the special effects, was done on the phone. I just wanted to see how it worked out. And it was pretty cool. And I have done some other things that with a single shot on my 4K. I got 3 to 4. I did one that had 4 different shots out of the one shot. That's the nice thing about the 4K. It can zoom in a bit without losing your quality. And
see, I think when I was hosting, more of the Ed Wood approach. Oh, good. Everybody showed up. That's a take. We'll keep it. I'll sew it together later.
Yeah. I
cobble
that
something
too.
Together.
But that's why he could. That's just one of the reasons Cormier could put his films together so quickly, because he'd do, you know, instead of shooting it 3 times, he'd get one good take, but he'd have three different angles from it. And I just thought, that's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
Yeah,
and cheap.
And cheap, yeah. And where you have, I forgot this actress, she literally almost stomped off the set. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Jennifer Lawrence. But this director demanded more takes. And the money that they were just pouring through, of course they had a big budget, but nonetheless, just, you know, it just drives the best actor to distraction. I mean, how many more takes do you need? You've got 12 cameras going at the same time. And all this, you want it again, 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 again. And
yeah. Yeah.
I think it's stupid.
I think some directors are just plain sadistic. James Wales really, really beat up Karloff in the original Frankenstein in 1931.
Yeah.
I hate to call it the original Frankenstein. Since I'm delving into the world of silent films, there's the 1910 Thomas Edison version with Charles Ogle as the monster.
Boy, that's strange.
Yeah.
That's strange.
It is an odd movie.
But, I've seen that one. I think it doesn't
but
remind
James
me.
James Whale just tortured Karloff and made him do shoot after shoot after shoot with that, you know, the makeup and the boots and the back brace and everything.
I'm surprised his health didn't fail earlier in his life. I mean, all that armor that he had to wear underneath and that crap and everything. Jeez.
Well, and he would be never one to cry about it, but it was thought that it could very well have been led to his back problems towards the end of his life.
But he kept working. But he kept working.
The guy was a trooper. Absolutely.
Most definitely. But, gentlemen, I must be away. Again, I'm glad I was able to swoop in and pitch it for Gar, if you're listening. Get well.
And will you be with us again tomorrow night? We can look forward to that?
If you like, certainly.
Yeah, you're our gal Saturday, so, you know, you got to be here.
Oh, yeah.
What do we have to do to convince you, your family? Get you a tattoo or something? Come on. Come on.
One of us.
Google gobble. Google gobble.
Oh, my.
All right.
Anyway, we can't be any clearer than that.
Very good.
Nope.
Message
with
received
that,
and
you
understood.
You know what it's time for.
Oh, yes.
You know
and
what,
I'm
yes.
tapping nicely on the door, Mr. Durante. Your audience is waiting for you.
Good night. It's time to say good night.
Who do you
want for this sake? But good night.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
CW, don't stand so close to the window. CW, don't stand so close to the window. God, I hope she's back tomorrow.